Hello, footies, and thank you for joining us once again for Foot in Review, where we've been bringing you leading analysis and opinion on all things FIFA and EAFC since 2019. Today's show is proudly brought to you by footcoaching.com, your number one place for you to get better at FC24. Also, if you want to help support this show directly, please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/footinreview. You get a range of benefits, including exclusive merchandise, coaching discounts, and much, much more, including ad-free access to the show, which means you won't be hearing this very advertisement. However, we realise that times are tough, so simply leaving us a five-star review wherever you listen to us will be greatly appreciated as it helps the show grow. We'd also like to thank our Skybox holder, Peter, for his exceptional support. Now, let's get to today's show. Hello, footies. Welcome along to your latest dose of EAFC Ultimate Team goodness. We are Foot in Review, powered by footcoaching.com. My name is Dan Wimbush, otherwise known as Wimby. I am joined by John, aka Talking Foot. We've got loads to get to today as the Future Stars promo rolls on. We've got a couple of big name icon SBCs to discuss, another gamble opportunity, and an intriguing little Evo that provides lots of interesting options to get into. Our main talking point is going to be around the power curve. Has it gone up too fast, or is it a bit of an optical illusion? Our team stale for the right or the wrong reasons. Plus, we've got a bumper mailbag, including the discussion around which player in EAFC is like pineapple on pizza. So I'm going to be intrigued to get your thoughts on that one, John, my friend. But how are you?
I'm very good, Dan. Thanks very much for having me on. Excited to talk about FC Sports and where we're sitting. And like you said, get through some of those mailbag questions.
Yeah, and appropriate pizza toppings as well, which is, I think, the main thrust of today's show, if I'm going to be completely honest. But let's get into the content first. Two big name icons getting Future Stars SBCs, Cannavaro and Baggio, two Italians on the pizza theme, appropriate. Easy question to start with. Out of the two, which is more tempting for you and why?
Cannavaro, because I would like to change away from Van Dijk. But in real life, it would be Baggio. He was so good to watch, but I just don't think he's going to fit my team. What about you, Dan?
I think, again, I'd go Cannavaro. I think the utility there. Baggio has always been just a bit of a weird player. I think the low shot power in the past has really harmed his cards. But he's that kind of player, a bit like Zola for me, where unless you play with like a true authentic cam, he's not quite quick or strong enough to play up front. He can't really do a job in a deeper role either, and wide, that again, the pace isn't really there. So you have to have him as that kind of floating cam, maybe in a 4-2-3-1. I like the boost they've given him. Again, if you put something like a hawk on him, that solves all the shot power issues. I have used him a couple of times in the past. He's been okay. I just think there's just so many better options out there. I mean, this is nearly 600,000 coins to do, John. Has got the technical plus, which is great. Again, if you are playing him in that role, and the ping pass plus play style is handy to have again in that role. Because again, just firing your passes into your strikers or out wide to your wingers. But I just think it's just too many coins for me.
Yeah, I just said I like the fact that his work rates have changed to high low, so I think he's not really had a high attacking work rate for a while. So yeah, it just looks really nice. But like you said, there's just probably too many faults for me. Maybe it's where my team is stacked, and we'll get to that conversation later. But yeah, for that point, going back to the original, it'd be Cannavaro.
Yeah, I mean, Cannavaro, again, a couple of 100,000 coins cheaper. He's coming in at 375 right now. The weird thing about this Cannavaro card, though, John, is that the playstyle plus they've given him. I love that they've given him acrobatic to go along with
overhead kicks. Overhead kicks in the box.
I mean, fair play. Fair play to him. I mean, he's got some of the other key ones just in normal playstyles that you'd want. He's got block, intercept, anticipate, and slide tackle, all very good for a centre-back. The pace being boosted, the 86 acceleration, even more important than that, 80 sprint speed as well. Good agility and balance. Defending stats, already elite. Physicality, maybe not top tier. I mean, the 80 stamina is a little bit wary for this stage of the game, maybe, but the aggression's nice. Composure at 85, again, maybe a little tiny bit low for a card like this. But, I mean, for 400,000 coins, it is, like you said, John, I think it's that kind of natural evolution for maybe someone that is trying to move away from like Gold Van Dijk, and maybe people that have done, like, I've seen Laurent Blancston in a lot of teams as well. This looks like a kind of natural evolution for those kind of players.
I think that's it. You know, obviously, if kind of our height difference is totally different from Van Dijk, but if you've still got a tall player alongside that, then this could be more nimble. On an instant point, I watched a couple of streams last night just while I was doing my champs. Run the Foot Market, was seeing Cannavaro as that, and Huge Gorilla was like, no, Cannavaro's not good enough. So two different people, both big in the streamer world, obviously one's bigger streamer, one's a pro, both different looks of the same player. So again, everything's up for discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's nice to have these options. But I mean, with the player picks we've got out now and the upgrades, it's not going to take you very much to do. I mean, the one thing that's going to hold you back on Cannavaro is that 88 rated squad. But otherwise, it's an 87 and then it drops right down to an 85 and an 81. So if you have got a couple of options to do. But I mean, I chose, instead of doing these two, John, I went and did the icon pick. My luck, yours, I've seen yours already, but we'll comfort our audience who got terrible picks. My three were base Sanchez, base Koeman, and base Yashin. And I suppose Yashin is half a million coins. That would have been a win. It's a dupe for me. So dupe theory. Who were your possibilities?
I can't even remember. I think I took... I can't even remember. That's what it is. It was nothing. Except, oh, Müller. I took Müller because he was highest rated at 92. That's how good my pick was.
Yeah, I've got yours in front of me. Zanetti, Müller, and Laudrup.
There you go, exactly.
And
all base.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into why maybe. I think we'll save this for the power curve discussion about, you know, why we're doing that as opposed to a Cannavaro or Baggio, because I think that kind of flows nicely. But I want to wrap up the content before we get there. We did have a mini release, John, but it. If you were talking about mini, I think this is about the smallest impact on the game possible. Bull, Milot, and Kivior, all of them already under 20,000 coins. What's the point?
I think that's the problem. Unless you're looking at an 88 rated, potentially with an Evo in the future, none of these people are making a team. So you're doing them because they're in your club, your nationality, or some sort of loyalty. That's why you're doing these cards. But,
I mean, out of the three, I mean, Milot is 20k, plays in the Bundesliga, French nationality, he's got technical and ping pass, which are two good play styles. And I think this is a card for a bit of trading advice. I might say to people, pick this card up because the evolution potential in the future is there for a card like that with two very good play styles for his role. It definitely needs a lot of work. On his stats right now, but this is the kind of card that, yeah, you might just want to stash away. At worst, you'll lose 7k. And it's the same for the other two as well. In fact, I'd say this for all of the future stars cards, the ones that are towards discard, just pick, if you've got a few hundred thousand coins and you don't know what to do with it, just pick up one or two of these players and just stash them somewhere in your club, because you never know when they'll explode. No, I've said this before. Remember that Ranieri card that was just an absolute definition of fodder from the UCL team of the group stage or whatever it was, exploded because he fit into that Evo chain and just went extinct. So you never know what can happen. And also, they're a fun option to try out. I mean, the guys were talking about this, John Ningvi were talking about this on Friday, John, but I mean, the hype for this team is just, it's just not there for me. I mean, even though Michael Olise is in there, who I've been dying to use as a former Reading player, but otherwise, it just feels really dead.
No, I mean, there's people want Garnacho from the team and Gallagher. There are one or two great, but those are so rare to pull. We all want Zico 93, which comes back into a Zico conversation later. We all want those sort of players. I pulled an Edved on the alt team. I thought, oh, great. He's already like dropped in price. And And you can't even say now, if you picked up the game now, these are great players to get you started. Who's picking the game up in February? You've already got it at the start, you've got it at Christmas. So I'm not quite sure where we're going. But to be fair, if we all gave out 93, 94, 95 rated cards, we'd all be playing with those cards. So,
well, that's one of those things. Credit where it's due to EA on this front, because they have made some of these fodder cards a little bit more usable by with the release of a new evolution this week. Was it called the Glow Up? Future Stars Glow Up, I think it's called. And it turns a card from a max overall 88 into, gives them a +2. The only restrictions are they can only have one playstyle plus, and they can't be a right wing back as well, which is a curious
one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are speculating it's because of, I think, Rico Lewis maybe. Might be the reason why. But, I mean, this is nice. It gives them a ping pass play style plus So it turns them into a two playstyle plus player. It does give them just a general boost all across the board. It's not really position specific as well. It kind of just gives plus ones and plus twos and plus threes across the board. So the player that I'm using for this one, John, is the guy who was in the objectives last week. I forget his name off the top of my head. The 86 rated guy from Monaco.
Oh, yes.
Because I really like the fact that he's got a bruiser plus play style. Magassa is his name. My apologies. I'm not even going to dare try and go for his first name. he turns into an 88 rated CDM with bruiser plus and ping pass plus. He's all Hullet gang except for his shooting. Medium high work rates, four star. And this is the kind of evolution that I just really like. And I just wish we'd seen more of this specific. We've only had a couple of promo specific Evos, but credit where it's due. It's only 75,000 coins, I think 350 FIFA points. So well within the range for most people. And so there are lots of good options on there.
Yeah, there absolutely are. I think obviously a lot of people are holding out for the left back that's, I can't pronounce the guy's
name. Udogi.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of people are seeing that going. Personally, even with an upgrade, my team is good, but it's not as good as some of the teams I'm facing. I just grudge spending FIFA points or coins on it. To me, that should be one of those free evolutions.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, and again, maybe it's the fact that I've got two good right backs, two good left backs, four good centre backs, so on and so forth. I just thought, I've not done any of the future star evolutions. So yeah, I've packed a couple of players. I could maybe upgrade one of those. But I just grudge paying for it. I'd rather spend 80,000 coins on a 90 rated fodder than spending time to upgrade an 88 to a 90.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. That's it. But again, if it's your player, your club, absolutely. If there was a St. Johnston player in there, yes, you're right, I'd be spending 75,000 coins, maybe 150,000 coins, maybe 250,000 coins, so on and so forth. But they're not. So for me, it's not ticking any of my boxes.
Yeah, this does feel like a massive missed opportunity because, I mean, it's great. I mean, we've seen three sets of academy players. So there's six Evos, you know, between the midfielders, attackers and defenders to get on with, plus this one. They did release one the other day for attackers, but it's a missed opportunity because this promo screams, take a bronze player from your favourite club and turn them into a future star. Like, and to not have that Evo, I don't understand it.
Absolutely. So I think we've talked about this a lot, right? So I know there are the broken Evo chaining things that are going on and people have 90 rated cards, right? I haven't done that. I've literally done an Evo as it comes and completed it because I'm just sorry. My best St. Johnston player is 84 rated and I struggle to get him into any other Evo. And that's my problem. But there you go. I'd be spending my half a million coins upgrading my St. Johnston team constantly if you could. So I agree. I think they've missed the boat by selecting, I would say for everybody, not like two St. Johnston players to get Evo, but there should be one for your club, your choice, your player.
Yeah, and this is the problem as well, John. I think that I don't know whether it's because EA are afraid of having game-breaking Evos pop up that will stop people from spending in the store or going for these promo players, but we're at such a late stage in the game now where if you loosen the shackles a little bit and allow us, like you said, to evolve our 84 rated St. Johnstone, my 84 rated Reading player into an 87. That's, even if they get two good playstyle pluses, it's not going to break the game. It really, no. Especially when you're handing out these Academy Evos that are turning people into 88 or 90 rated with two playstyle pluses. So, you know, the horse has already bolted. I don't understand why you got the shackles on.
Exactly, and you're more likely to get some FIFA points spent, or EA points, whatever you want to call it. You're more likely to get them spent by the casual that wants to upgrade his team, not some player that's got no resignation.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, the Future Stars Strikeforce training Evo that came out, again, maximum 85, but the playstyle plus zero. And almost every evolution that they've handed out in the last few months has given out a playstyle plus. So who's going to be... I mean, this costs 100,000 coins or 500 FIFA points. Me and you would happily spend points or coins on it. But I don't know about you, nobody in my Reading team, because Reading have only got about 18 players in the entire game. And I imagine St. Johnston are probably on about the same level. Yeah. I can't fit anybody
in. Most of them are bronze, a couple of silvers,
I can't fit anybody in. And this is the thing, the players that I've been evolving since September, none of them fit in. So again, it's a bit of a missed opportunity for EA. Look, I'm trying to give you money here, and I know you really like money, EA Sports. So
Yes. I think this will improve next year. I think the problem, not the problem, but the challenge they've got is this was the first time they've rolled it out. And again, the community trying to get around it by chaining EVOs and not completing EVOs and holding on to them. It wasn't designed for that. Once they get a better understanding of what we want, how it works, I think this could be a big improvement for next year. Unfortunately for this year, me and you, Dan, are in not such a good place with it.
Yeah, and I'm sure, look, we'll spend time over the summer months as we start to hear more news on EAFC 25, talking about maybe changes and tweaks we'd like to see rather than, fantasy court, Monday morning quarterbacking. Because like you say, we do have to give them a little bit of leeway given that it's the first year they've run it. Look, normally we'd be taking a break right about now, but instead today we're going to talk about episode 600, which is rolling around closer and closer every week. Got lots of stuff planned, but the big thing is we want you to get involved as well. We want you to send in your voice messages. If you follow the show notes, wherever you listen to the show, it will tell you how you can leave a voice note, or you just want to send in a message. Follow us on our socials, at Foot Coaching, wherever you may follow. And leave us a message there. We'll try and read out as many as possible on the show. We want to make it a bang. Episode 500. The party for 500 just got delayed and delayed and delayed to the point that we couldn't run it.
We'll have that in Crete.
Yeah, we'll have that in Crete. But so look, 600 is coming up and we very much want you to get involved. So please do. And again, that's not really a break in the show. But again, if you do want to go that extra mile to support the show, please consider joining up to the Patreon, patreon.com/footinreview. Remember, the Discord is open for everybody now. But if you do want to go that extra mile, it really is appreciated. And head over to Patreon for that. Lots of goodies available as well for doing so. Right, let's get started then with the second part, I suppose, of the show, John. This was the talking point that the two of us came up with over the weekend, spitballing. And it's the power curve. And this is a topic that I've seen lots of content creators talking about it on YouTube. I saw Nate the Foot Accountant talking about this. I saw Nick Run the Foot Market talk about it. All the big ones. Nep has been talking about it as well. Talk us through where you think the power curve is at. Do you think a lot of people are saying it's broken and EA have really made a mess for themselves? How do you look at the situation now as we get towards the end of February now?
I think power curve's pretty much where it was last year. I think the only slight difference is I think even though Team of the Year seemed elusive for a lot of players, I think the pack luck or pack rate was slightly improved on previous game, where nobody seemed to have any. So I think there are a few more blues into people's teams, which has pushed their team up a little bit. And then there's a multiple playstyles, which we didn't have last year. So obviously some playstyles have been more broken than others. But if you look at individual ratings, if you look at my team last year versus my team at this stage this year, and if you exclude Team of the Year, which I talked about, that pack would be slightly different. My defence was better last year than it is this year, but my midfield was on a par. My strike force is better this year than last year. Right. So on that whole structure, I thought power curve was broken and we were too far ahead, but it's very similar to last year. What about you, Dan? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Again, I sort of said in the show intro, it's a bit of an optical illusion. And I think I mentioned this in the shows we did before, in that if you looked at the game this time last year, a lot of the same things were being said. You know, we were just running into Alaueron, World Cup Cap de Villa, World Cup Vieira, Player of the Month Mbappe. That SBC Jairzinho was in everybody's team. It was similar players. There was, you know, I think there was a flashback Ramos in there. I look at my team from just over, not quite a year ago. The nearest screenshot I've got is from the 3rd of March. And I've got a Player of the Month, Mbappe. I've got a World Cup Drogba, that Jairzinho SBC that everybody did. I've got, the ones to watch, Renato Sanchez. He was an 85 rated. Vieira, mid. A road to the final, Kimmich, Davies honourable mention, Van Dijk team of the year, Kimpembe Centurions 86, Prime Cafu, and team of the year icon Van der Sar. Compare that to my team this year, which is Thunderstruck Casillas, so probably about the same in terms of a goalkeeper. I've got Baby Maldini, which again is a bit of a downgrade on Van Dijk, and next to him is Saliba, but the two of them together are nearly there. My left back is Batcher, who's probably about as good as that Davies card. My right back is Cancelo, not too much different from Cafu. Vieira, okay, I could do with a better upgrade there. I've got Koundé there at the moment. And Kimmich, I've got Hullet, who I didn't have last year. Mbappe, I've got Mbappe. I've got Eusebio instead of Drogba. And I've got my Reading, Femi Azeez, instead of Jairzinho. And Femi Azeez is better than any of them. So it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You talk about that. I had that Jairzinho you talked about. I had Captivier that you talked about. I had Alawane on that you talked about this stage last year. I had the flashback Ramos. You know, I had, must have been the team of the year icon, Pirlo. You know, you look at that, who I'm running at right back now, Reece James. Who I'm running at left back, if you take away my team of the year that I was lucky to pull, I was running Roberto Carlos. I'm running Gold, Virgil van Dijk versus that Ramos. Do you know what I mean? It's not a huge difference. So I think, like you talked about, I think it's an illusion.
It is an optical illusion. And I think if you look at the big difference between this year and last year, and Shaq and I were talking about this, is the aspirational and how you can get that next level. That is the big difference this year for me, John, in that obviously team of the year prices, because EA have gone down such a massively untradeable store pack route, the supply just wasn't there and the prices have gone bonkers. So you're just sat there, but you're unable to reach that next step. Now, reaching that next step last year was hard. I mean, if you look at cards like David Beckham's team of the year icon, for example, that was 4.5 million coins around this time last year. So it's not that much different from some of the top players that we're all desiring. This year, if I go and have a look at, I mean, Mbappe was probably still about 10 million coins. It's only really maybe some of the lesser team of the years that were lower in price and we can't reach them this year. I think maybe that's why people are saying that things are broken.
Yeah, I think so. It goes back to that. If you look at your team now, what's your next step? That next step is probably a lot of coins. And how do you get those coins? For untradeable packs. And that's where I think everybody said, oh, power curve's broken. But everybody's got really good teams.
Yeah.
But a lot of us are running the same. We've all got an Mbappe of some sort. I'm saying all. But most have an Mbappe of some sort, be that a gold or a player of the month. Most people have a Eusebio. Most people have, you know, because again, it's SBC driven. It's like, you don't get tradable. You've got a lot of untradable fodder. You put it into an SBC. We're all doing the same from the SBCs. I'm lucky I've got a base hoolet. Most other people have the winter wildcard hoolet.
Yeah.
Teams are driven by SBCs and that tiny little bit of pack luck. But yeah. Again, we're similar to last year. The same spot last year, this year, they're not that much different.
Yeah, look, and if you know, sign up to our Discord, of course, you can listen to the show live. It's been recorded. Adam has done so. He's got a question coming up later in the mailbag. He's also chipped in with, for me, SBCs have pushed it too far. Feels like we've had much better SBCs than last year. Hullet, Eusebio, Cafu will be in my team for ages. And until recently, Blanc was a high one also.
That's a fair point. It's a fair point, but I had Jairzinho last year and he was in everybody's team top pretty much now on team of the season. You know, and that was quite an early SBC, and he racked up well over 1,000 games. So there were fantastic SBCs last year that lasted. I just think this year, yeah, there'd probably possibly been one or two more, and that possibly drives a lot of that pack opening or somebody putting your fodder, which is untradeable. But again, I don't think the difference this year to last year is as big as you think it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are probably what, 7-8 weeks from team of the season already. It's creeping up rapidly. And whilst I agree, Adam, I think this year's the SBCs have been brilliant. A little bit higher, but I think it's the whole playstyle pluses that is going to be the difference maker between just ratings from this year. And I think when we start getting towards Foot Birthday and team of the season, and you're seeing three playstyle pluses, like suddenly that Eusebio 92 is maybe going to start to look, for us dedicated players, is going to maybe start to look a little bit like that Jairzinho looked like, where, yeah, you were probably running him for a long time, but you're actually like, I could probably do with replacing that player.
But then it comes back to replacing with who? So, yeah. But yeah, you're right. I think, you know, right now, we're in a good place. Most of us, 7 or 8 weeks away, you know, let's be honest, it's plus everything just goes.
But it is massively tricky because, I mean, we looked as well going into the show, our teams and the number of games that our players have played. And I've got the average appearances on my team is closer to 300 for my starting 11 at the moment. And if you take an average, because I don't play rivals that much, and if I'm doing squad battles or something else, I will use my Reading players, so they don't count towards this. My main competitive team, my average is about 300 games each. And I think if you said I play maybe a good week, 50 games a week, but usually closer to 40, it means most of my team have now been in that squad for 5 or 6 weeks, which John, I don't know. Do you think that's a long time or is it not a long time? Are we maybe just too deep in the FIFA bubble to be considering
I think we're too deep in the FIFA bubble. If you think, obviously, the horse is bolted, right? Everything's running roost. Years and years ago, you hardly got a special card and people were in your team for forever, right? Now there's a demand for new cards every week. But when those new cards aren't an improvement in what you've got, we complain about this content isn't good enough. Yeah. So there is a piece that says, now if you're lucky, I think is that I packed the gold Mbappe right at the start. Now what did I see his games were, Dan? 761 games he played for me, right? Because he's untradeable. I'm not going to replace that Mbappe with a Eusebio or somebody else at 2 billion coins, because why would I do that? So I was lucky, but there are some still good cards. Kessler, right? I think I've mentioned that every time I'm on. That UEFA Kessler card is like about 180,000 coins, and she is amazing. She's pushing 300 games for me now. She's kicked out of BA. Do you know what I mean? That's a cheap card. That's a card that'll do your longevity. But if I want to improve her, it's that gap. So I'm quite happy to stay with that because I'm not in the... Maybe it's just me. I'm not in the mad rush to keep changing my team. I like the way they play. You understand where they play. You understand the runs, the positioning. You understand what they can and can't do. And you play to that. If you've constantly changed your team, yes, it's fun and it's fresh. But I don't see the point.
Yeah, I mean, the teams at the moment are close to what people would probably describe their ultimate team in being, because it's full of big names and people that you're familiar with or people that you've grown attached to, like Batcher, the left back. I've used that card. I made that card red. It's got like 600 appearances. That's been great to have and not to be constantly churning over players week after week. And, you know, in the olden days, that was the worry as well, wasn't it? Especially when the market was a bit more tradable. God, I'm almost giving EA an excuse here. But you would have that constant worry, wouldn't you? You'd be buying new players and you'd be like, oh God, they're going to drop. I need to make that next upgrade. Whereas now you've got, everybody's got really good teams that are competitive with everybody else, and they don't have to be spending loads and loads of FIFA points to be able to get that great team. I guess it's just maybe curbing that natural instinct that we've got, you know, the football manager in us of having to constantly, to be Claudio Ranieri, to be the Tinker Man.
Yeah, or to simply go, who's available at the transfer market this week? Yeah, exactly. You don't need it. But yeah, sometimes there is, you know, and it comes back to a conversation in the mailbag about replacing players. If it's not broken, it doesn't need fixed.
And I think the one thing I will say, though, is this leads into Adam's question in the mailbag, which was basically along the lines of, you know, if you land a job in Vancouver for the next revamp of EAFC, how do you revamp the game mode? And I think it's the game modes that are making so many players and so feel pointless. Because in years past, you would have an excuse to have, say if you pulled the Xerxes, 4-star, 4-star, 88 rated, 2 play style plus player from the Serie A, he's 40K. You'd pull him 2-3 years ago, you'd be like, that guy is going to be absolutely great for my icon swaps or for objectives or for something like this or for friendly cup modes. But because icon sorts have gone, because friendly modes are sweatier than rivals and you don't want to weaken your team, you will play the most powerful team you've got to get the best results. You've just got no potential place to play this card. Maybe if you get the amount of wins you get in weekend league or rivals, then maybe you would float in and try something a bit different. But most people don't want to do that.
I agree, and that goes back to that question from Adam, right? So if you take something like friendless mode, it should be, yes, you need to run 20 games with the Serie A squad, whatever criteria you want to put in, but it should be you'll get X amount of points for a win, X amount of points if you score a goal, with those criteria that force you into using some players you wouldn't normally use, but there's points you're playing, points you're scoring, additional points you're winning. So it doesn't matter if you do it in 10 games, but you maybe need to play 15. You'll get there, you have to use those different players, you keep those players in your club. Do you know what I mean? So that's why we do it, a sort of points-based system, rather than simply you need 10 wins and you've only got 10 games to do it in. That's what you said. That drives everybody to use the best teams all the time. But if it's just you must play 10 games with this unique build-up, like three Serie A, two Bundesliga, whatever randomness you want to do, but just make it, there's always a reason to play some points, more points, additional points. That's the way to get around it.
Yeah, exactly. Score goals in, you know, score goals with defenders in, It's, yeah, they just need to revamp the game mode. So let's dig into Adam's question then. If you were designing a game mode, what does it look like? And for me, to give you a bit of time to think about this one, I would just, again, just go for cups with open matchmaking or form-based matchmaking. Have a, you know, you can enter, maybe it starts in a group stage, maybe it's a week, maybe there's like a weekly friendly league or something where you sign up at the start of the week and you've got to play these players over the course of a week. If they don't turn up, you don't play their game, you know, whatever, you get 3 points, or just make it a straight cup. I know that, you know, people talk daily about the old daily knockout tournaments, how you used to qualify for weekend league. It's before my time, but that sounds good. That sounds good to me.
It was horrible, Dan.
Was it horrible?
For me personally, just being the average FIFA player, right? It basically, you logged in, you played your 4 games, you won one, you were knacked, you had to wait, you went again. Because what you got is the good players all went in and smashed the average players, a bit like qualifiers, right?
True.
But the time scale was, the gap was a lot smaller. You really couldn't lose. You had to win your 3 games, a bit like going in an ultimate draft and having to win your draft. If you didn't win your draft, you didn't qualify. That's actually, that was harder, I think.
But I've said, I think I had this conversation with Grandpapa Mac on one of the shows a year or so ago, is I would just do it like the Champions League, I was going to say Intertoto Cup then, Champions League, Europa League, a Conference League. You pick which tier you want to enter, and that bases on your rewards. And you can only enter one cup a week or whatever it is. So if you're one of the very best players and you want the best rewards, you're going to go in for that top cup. And maybe if you're just up for a more casual experience, you realize that, okay, the rewards are... Now, the rewards are not really worth people's time unless you're, you know, to stop the good players just going, oh, well, I'll just enter the easiest one and win that, you know. I don't mind playing a cup if it's for, like, a couple of mega packs at the end.
I like the old days. I remember you used to get points towards, I think it was possibly qualification, but you got points for scoring in a game.
Oh, as in Rivals, yeah.
Rivals. That stuff should come back. There should be a reason for you to keep playing, not 7 and out. I've got my 7 rivals since the week. That's me done. Unless you're really competitive, like John Foot coaching, who is understanding the game and developing and doing lots of things, right? The average person, 7 wins and done. It's qualifiers and done, and then it's some objectives, right? And they're usually not even in the highest level of rivals because they've got their 7 wins and they're not constantly playing it. There needs to be a reason for you to play. And I think there's that constant, like in the past, once you got to season end, if you played 10 games additional, you got a reward. That's what it should be like.
Yeah.
It should be rewards at 7, 10, 12, 15, 20, 40, 60. Unlimited rewards to keep you playing.
I just had the objective in, isn't it? Score 10 goals for Serie A players in Rivals or Foot Champions this week. That way, you like you say, even after you got your 7 wins, you're like, okay, I'm going to play on and I'm going to use this Xerxes card to try and get 10 goals to get another mega pack or something like that. It just seems obvious to me, but I do think we'll get a massive revamp of the game modes. I mean, is there anything else you can think of that you might want to bring in game mode wise?
No, they just need. Obviously, they said time to think about it. There are several modes. There are plenty of modes. There's friendlies. There is in regular cup tournaments. There is rivals. There is champs. The problem is everything's really competitive. But I think, like you said, open up the matchmaking, make like rivals something for having 100 games played, whatever it is, just keep the audience engaged. The cups, stop having this, you need 4 wins out of 10. Make it, just get your 4 wins. If you're not as good as somebody else, it might take you 20 games, but there's a reason to keep going because you're not feeling like, well, I'm not even going to try that because I'm not going to get it. Do you see what I mean? So yeah. I just think it's just to loosen it.
Tell you one that's just popped into my head as well. Do you remember FIFA 97 and what FIFA 97 had? Indoor mode, indoor five-a-side mode. Just bring in something like that. You know, you've got Volta modes and things like that. Just bring in something like that. Have an indoor five-a-side cup, or just utilize some of the other game modes you've got, like Mystery Ball. And in years past, we had, like, remember in Rule Breakers, they had like the no rules cup. Where it was like fouls and offsides.
Oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. Slime tackling everybody.
And they had the goalie, as Grandpa Max said, goalie wars, where you had to have 11 goalkeepers. There has been so little fun in this. It's just a grind. It's a grind to get you playing and engaging with the game, to spend packs. They have completely lost sight of the fact that they do such great work for the rest of this game, and they could bring it into Ultimate Team mode. And they just don't. And Adam says, praying for a revamp. Been the same for 3 years. Do like Weekend League and Qualies, but everything else needs tweaking. And I agree. It just, at the moment, the gameplay itself is not carrying this game. The menus are carrying this game. You know, we're all interested in new cards and SBCs and things like that. There's so little reason to, like, you know, I'd love to be able to go, do you know what, I'm going to play the No Rules Cup tonight. I'm going to enter No Rules Cup tonight. Like, bring out my, like, biggest, baddest, most aggressive players, and just be like, go on, lads, get stuck
in. Imagine a competition where you had to play everybody over 6'4" or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Just like random things. And they said they don't need to have, just make it open matchmaking. Just have it, you know, just little things for people to do. You'd still get people engaging with your game, you'd have your metrics. But anyway, it's we will see. Right, let's move on in the mailbag to Ingvy's question. He says, if you have 3 million and feel you can't upgrade your team, what do you do? Do you try new players and try to have fun, or do you invest/trade to try and get a player that will actually improve your team? John?
Personally, I'm not the greatest trader, even though there's really good trading advice in our Discord. Thanks, Dan. I do a little bit of club stalking. Generally, I just leave my coins sitting there, because there is that, you talked about it, I referenced it before, that dread of losing coins. So I wouldn't buy players just to try for fun. I'm boring, and because again, the time I sell them, I've lost coins, and most of my teams are tradable anyway. But yeah, it's trading. You're the man, Dan. What would you recommend? Because I'm quite boring here.
Look, I know how to do the very basics of trade. In fact, I probably know more, but I don't have the stomach for the high value trading that you'd have to do. There are lots of ways to make coins, and it's like real world money. The more money you have, the easier it is to make. I mean, with 3 million, again, just buying out of pack specials, looking for fluctuations, club stocking without high rated fodder. I mean, you go and look at that. Just go and look at something like a card like Benzema at the moment that's down to about 48, 49K. Look what his price was 2 weeks ago. He was 60, 65K. If you got 3 million, you could pump 2 million coins into fodder or something like that. And again, you would have 4 million a couple of weeks later. So you could do that. I would be trying. When I have had that kind of coin total, John, I have split it in two. I have gone, right, here's the 1.5 million that I'm just going to be spending trying loads of players. Here's the 1.5 million that I'm going to keep to trade and have a rainy day. And that's how I would do it. I wouldn't be denying myself because, and I have these discussions with Nath a lot, because Nath is a bit of a dragon. He sits on his coins and will never spend them. Keep thinking that there'll be a player next week that he'll want to buy. And then, of course, that player never pops up, and you end up just sitting on coins for such a large amount of time and never actually daring to try someone. So, I mean, for me, I'm in this position at the moment. I have about 1.4, 1.5 million coins, and I keep looking at David Beckham's icon card. A, because he's a very beautiful man, but B, because I want to try him for my team. And he is about 1.4 million. So I'm in that, do I go and buy Beckham for a week or two and just have everything of my club into him? So I might try and make another couple hundred thousand to give me a little bit of a buffer, but I think that's what I'd do.
No. And that's what I'm saying. There's probably no right and wrong. And not so boring people tell you, go ahead, spend your coins, have fun, try different cards, experience the full game. I'm just paranoid that the little coins that I've got, I don't want them depreciating or getting wasted away. And I'm a bit like the next card's the card I really want, and that's the card I'm keeping my coins for. So
it is a tough one. And the gaffer John sends a message. He says, question for the show. Do you build your team to fit your players, or do we build your formation and then find the right players for it? Compromises both ways. I'm curious because I've got a pretty good team, but sometimes I have to put in far less skilled players in certain formations. For example, my wingers are far less than my cams, for example. But I find it silly to do a big winger SBC while most it will be on the bench. I've got Nedved now, but he usually doesn't start above 95 Zidane or 91 Kaká. So where do you go, John? Do you get yourself a system and then say, right, I'm going to find a player to fit it? Or do you go, I've got these players, what's the best formation I can have?
I did to begin with, because I was 4-4-2 at the start of the game and 4-4-2 for a very long time. But I was handicapping myself because I was overloaded with centre-forward come strikers, and I was playing 86 and 87 rated average wingers to make my 4-4-2 work. So I bit the bullet, went to the 4-3-2-1 that everybody else uses, and that let me use Dalglish at the time. It let me use Bobby Charlton, who is amazing, by the way, and it let me use Kylian Mbappe, all three up front, and I still got a good stacked midfield. So it actually was the right thing for me, was to change formation to get my best players in. But in the past, I was handicapping myself by being too rigid about a 4-4-2, therefore I'm playing with not such good wingers. What have you done?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are certain pools you get in this game where you kind of have to fit your team around them. I think Messi is a good one. The whole team of the year Messi thing, in that, you know, he's a player that you would just change your formation to fit in the right position. But generally, I have a system. But I tend to go for a system first and then get my players in to suit it. But I will already kind of default to a system that I know is going to fit the players I like, if that makes sense. So I always like to have a system that enables me to cross the ball. So I will always get players that are decent wide and that I know can sling a ball in. Yeah, Mbappe's not the best crosser in the world, but he can do the job out wide. So that's why I'll do an SBC like Mbappe, because I know that even if I get a better striker down the road, I'll always have a place for him out on the wing. So yeah, I do very much go kind of system first, but the players I like are very much built into that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. So, like I said, I sat with Bobby Charlton for a long time, and it was like I didn't gel with him, changed formation, which was really about getting that whole balance of my best players in, and it just clicked after a little bit of time. So I think, yeah, great players. Out of interest, you said Messi. Where do you play Messi, and how do you play him? Because I'm not getting the best from him.
Well, look, this leads into formation in review. Because I've been playing the 4-2-2 that the gaffer himself has been working on. You can find instructions for it in, again, if you're a Patreon member, we've got an exclusive Patreon area of the Discord. So that formation is in there. It's been there for a few days now. I got it a little bit early. So I play him. He's just a striker. He plays up front with Eusebio. Before that, he was playing in a 4-2-3-1 in a roving cam position. And I found in either, he's very good. I think he's at the stage of the game where you could play him at left back and he'd still be the best player in your team. As we get further and deeper into the game towards tots and stuff, that's when I may have to think, okay, he's not as good a striker as X, Y, or Z. Then where do I put him? Do I then move him out wide? But I found for the time being, he's just so good. He'll play anywhere. I think he may have played slightly better in that cam role than as a striker, but it's very nominal.
Yeah, I'm using him just to sidetrack. I'm using him as a central striker in the 4-3-2-1 with Charlton and Mbappe on either side. And I've just got him on stay centre, I think it is. But again, some games, depending who you're playing, he'll score 5, and then the next 5 games, he doesn't touch the ball. And I'm just thinking, well, hashtag skill issue.
Well, look, the 4-2-2, just to run through it, it is very, very good. It gives you lots of attacking options and lots of great positions in the box. You've always got wide options as well. The downside is that you can get caught through. If you give the ball away in the middle, you can be exposed. And I've been involved in some ding-dong games in this weekend league playing this formation. I was in a 7-7, I was in an 8-7. 5-4. It was just, yeah, it was Kevin Keegan's Newcastle for the mid-90s stuff. Because I'm just not careful enough with the ball in the centre of the park. I do make a loose pass or I get frustrated and go for a throughy that just gets cut out. And then suddenly I'm being counted on at great speed. But I would recommend it. I think, again, it gives you lots of different options. I have been scoring goals from crosses, been working the ball around the boxes, gets into those positions for finesses, travellers. it really is kind of a Swiss Army knife attacking utility. You don't just have to build up in one particular way. So I'd give it a go. I always hate playing against that formation as well. So, you know, if you can't beat a rat, join them in my book. So I've absolutely gone for that. But John, have you got a player in review to discuss?
Yeah, for me, it's probably a wee bit behind the curve now, but I did base Zico last week. I was looking for just a little bit more of an attacking threat from a midfield. So my midfield three was Hero Abili, the Hero Kessler that I've mentioned before, and base Hulett. And trying to get the best out of them. And I just thought, I'm needing something. I keep holding my coins, if we were talking about, for that big CDM that would allow me to put Hulett in a more balanced role. That wasn't landing. So I did the Zico SBC, and I got Zico and get forward, get into the box. Rowe is one of my three midfielders, and the player is just beautiful. Passing is crisp, dribbling is brilliant, long range shots are beautiful, and he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. And I think for me, in 34 games, he's got 11 goals and 9 assists. And nice. It's just like, oh, just beautiful. That's just rivals and champs. Just really, really nice to play with. And again, like I said, there is a Thunderstruck version, and now there is the Future Stars version. Yeah. So there'll be better versions. But if you're looking for a really nice attacking midfielder with decent enough physical defending stats to help you in that three-man midfield, I don't know if he'd suit a two. He certainly suits a three on get forward. I'd give him a look. And you can also get him a five-game loan if you do one of the SBCs parts.
Excellent. Yeah, I was very, very tempted. I think because I got Messi, that's why Zeke, and I don't play that 4-3-2-1. But yeah, he is, to me, that attacking midfielder slot in that 4-3-2-1, he's perfect. I played players like Rooney and Kane there in the past as well, and they both did brilliantly in that role. So I can absolutely see why Zico would be a must-do if you're running that formation. So yeah, definitely give him a go. He gives me nightmares as well. I was playing with someone, the left stick action with Zico was just, I couldn't get near him, could not get near him. So he's got that Neymar factor to him, I think, where the players that can use him properly and mix up their dribbles are brilliant.
On a side note, he wears my number 10 shirt and Messi does not. So there you go.
Who's your captain?
Bobby Charlton.
So. Good and worthy captain. Yeah, I've got to, yeah. I think Messi wears the armband for me since Ledley King graciously stepped out of the team for Saliba, but it was Ledley King for a long time. So competitive. Yeah. I'd love to know. I think I know the answer. I don't think it does anything, but it would be nice if the captain's armband did something.
Oh yeah, but there's a tweak for the next game you're talking about. Mm. You know, should managers have special traits? Should there be Fergie time? Should there be a morale boost or a second half pick me up?
Allow people to press manager for more. Yeah.
Yeah. That's potentially just another curveball they could look at in the future. But there you go.
Yeah, paying 2 million coins because, Jurgen Klopp lets you press for longer. I can see it now. Or 10,000 FIFA points in the store. Giving these guys free ideas. I know. And we wonder why the game's going the way it is. It's just farming these ideas from us. Right, anyway, I think that just about wraps up the show today, John. Anything from you to add?
No, still got weekend league to finish. So, like I said before coming on, sitting at 7-3, and my best this year has been 9, which has been quite regular. So, hopefully, I'll get that tonight. Might push on for 11, but usually my forearm tilts as we get into the higher Evo. Just for everybody else out there, you know, just enjoy it. It is just a game, and your next big card's around the corner. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I finished weekend league, I got 11-6. Death taxes and 11 wins seem to be me this year. But yeah, I've got some Evos to be cracking on with. I'm only doing, I think, one of the defenders. Is it Gomez, the Man City guy? And as mentioning, Evoing the Monaco CDM, who's hopefully going to replace Koundé in my team going forward. But other than that, not a great deal. It is nice to have a little bit of downtime. I know we're all desperate to get that next upgrade to really feel like we're getting squeezing every inch from this game. But it's also not a bad time to go off. I've been looking to see some, you know, not encouraging people to go away from this game and stop listening to us, but, you know, I see clips of people playing like Helldivers. Looks really fun. I've been playing a game called Hell Let Loose, which has been absolute hell, seems to be a theme here for me.
Wow.
just a hell let loose, big World War II, 50-on-50, mostly objective-based game where death comes from absolutely everywhere and you don't even see it. Having a chance to do something else.
I've been picking up Seasons of Discovery, World of Warcraft back to the vanilla twist one that Blizzard wrote, and it's good fun, just leveling up, chilling with some friends, do you know what I mean? Not quite dungeon running because it's totally different from the original, you know what I mean? So that's coming. You need to be properly geared and properly rated for that. But just having that fun, an hour here, an hour there.
Just 20 years old as well, wow. 20 years old, isn't it, this year?
I've been playing it since it came out.
I know. I haven't played it continuously, but I did play it in 2005. So, 19 years ago since I first got lost in Stranglethorn, trying to collect 18. But you think Evos are a grind, kids. Just wait until you do the Green Hills of Stranglethorn quest.
Some people don't know the bomb.
No, exactly. Anyway, before we completely lose our younger audience, we should wrap it up there. The show will return over the weekend. Of course, we've got a new promo. I mean, EA have kind of given the game away as to what this will be, because they've put in one of the season options, a player pick for Foot Fantasy. So we think that is going to be next. If it is, John and Ingvi, I believe, will be on Friday's show. They'll be talking all about it. Remember, lots of good stuff coming up. Join the Patreon if you can and help support the show. If not, just join the Discord or leave us those 5-star reviews. Remember as well, the Creep Meetup is rapidly approaching as well. Just 3 months to go for that. And if you're a paid-up Patreon member, of course, you get access to that. It's going to be a fantastic week in the sun. I really wish I could go. Alas, I am not that fortunate to be given that kind of time away from my two kids. But never mind. My time in the sunshine literally will come. But join up to that. Again, have fun if you're doing so. I'm hopefully going to get a trading show, our February trading show, with myself and Shaq done. If not, it might slip into the early weeks of March. But stay tuned for that.
Looking forward to that.
We will do our best to try and make some people some coins. And until then, only one thing left to do, John.
Drop it.
We are going to drop it.
Drop it.
F U T T T interview F U T